Getting close like that.
How's Chung looking?
He'll be limited again today. Brandon's full, so Pat will be the only guy that's limited. And we'll see what he can do. I saw him working on the weight room, so, you know, again, got to keep an eye on him, but we'll see what happens in terms of Sunday. But he's the only guy that's limited in the group.
What is it that he's having trouble doing, or that, you know, is...
Again, I'm not being evasive. I just tell me, is he going, is he not going? I know he's got a shoulder, so I don't get specific. I don't know third degrees, second degrees. It's not my job to know that stuff. I just got to know, is a guy going, is a guy not going? So I know he's got a shoulder, and if they clear him, he'll play. If they don't clear him, he's not going to play.
He's been out here with him, so is he just
he's running around a little bit. He went through drills. No, he was actually in 7-on yesterday and running around, did some stuff, you know, with us against each other, but... will that make him? Is that enough for him to get ready to play on Sunday? You know, leave that up to what they say in terms of at least his health. When they clear him from a health standpoint, then we make a decision from, does he got enough reps? Has he done all those other things for us to be able to put him in?
So. Still wolfing down if Chung can't go.
Yeah.
What would you say in terms of progress from Wolf after his first start?
Like all young rookies, I think everything's a new experience for him. So the more reps you get him, you just kind of see him getting better and better. I see improvement in Earl, but you know, you're not, in the short amount of time since he's been here, been able to put him through every single route combination, sets, recognition, all those things that a guy that's been in the league for 2 or 3 years can recognize. So, but we all see every day. I think you just see Earl improving, and there's something. You keep looking at him saying he's starting to make plays. The one thing I know about Earl, and I think we all know about Earl, is he flies around, and he's around the ball. And if he even makes a mistake or makes a misstep, he's going to make up with it with his effort. So, you know, that part's encouraging, and I think as he continues to get experience, you're going to continue to see him get better and better out there.
As a follow-up on Sean, is there enough reps to go around Friday and Saturday to make up for 8 straight days of not being a full participant in practice?
From a standpoint of what? Mental standpoint, or?
You said that in order to figure, if he gets cleared to play him, you'll see if there's reps, you know, how he does in those reps. Is there enough reps?
No, I said we'll see. We'll talk as a staff in terms of how much has he grasped the game plan and all those other things. The one thing about Pat is he's probably our most conscientious guy on this team when it comes to the mental part of things. So, you know, some guys, when they're out, you can kind of see them, they drift a little bit. When Pat's out, Pat's mentally not out. You know, he's in there making the checks, understanding, you know, if it's 2x2, we're going to this. If it's 3x1, we're going to this. It's not that Pat's not involved in the game plan or what's going on from a mental standpoint, but you also know with a guy who's been out for 8 days, there's going to be a little bit of rust there. But, you know, then you're factoring with your actives, inactives, is keeping Pat up and making him active. Is that better than what your other options are at that position? So,
are you happy with what your linebackers have done in coverage? How do you think that's gone?
I think it's, you know, it really, they're okay. You know, they're not outstanding right now. I think there's some times where, you know, it's a mental mistake or two where we've dropped the guy in coverage, and I think those are the things where some big plays occurred in the Broncos game. You know, I think they're getting better. It's like everything else. You know, everything from offensively and defensively and special teams is all new to these guys, so there's not a lot of experience for them to draw back on of. They've seen this all, but I think in terms of how they're working and what they're doing on a daily basis, we see improvement in them, but I think we need to be better there.
You've been with Benny and Soap. It looks like the reps have been pretty even. What do you like about that arrangement, and how is Benny doing with that? How's he coming along?
Benny's growing, like a lot of our young guys. They're getting better and they're progressing. The one thing about that position is you are at the focal point when the ball's being snapped, and the pounding that you take in there. It's a pretty physical game, you know, and you better make sure you have two, just because it's a tough deal. You're getting hit, you know, by guards. You're getting hit by the center. You know, you're in the middle of all the action. So being able to, Soap's a little bit older. I think he's been a good influence on all the younger guys in terms of his experience in the league. But I also know that, you know, we also know that we can't have him out there for 60, 70 snaps either. So I think, you know, having two guys there, I think, is really has helped us and will continue to help us as we continue through a 16-game season.
You've been very healthy, comparatively speaking. Do you think there's any direct correlation between your health, your conditioning and strength program and that?
I think so. But I also think a lot of credit needs to go to our players. You know, we've got a bunch of guys, and I've said all along, and maybe it's not how other people interpret it, but I think the best ability is durability. And we got a bunch of guys, when we're making selections on players, you really want to know how long they can play. Part of what their mental makeup is. I also think part of it is that our players embrace practice. They embrace the preparation aspect of things. And through our science and our study is you need to participate. Even when our guys are out, if you see our guys are out, our guys aren't out. They're not standing around on the side. They're off with our strength and conditioning coaches doing things. So if they do have an opportunity to come back, it's not like they've been off for 8 days of not doing anything. They've been doing something. But you like to think part of it's a combination of a lot of things. But I think part of what our sports science aspect of things is to make sure that, time loss is the biggest thing you're trying to prevent, and just the little things we talk about. Are we getting enough sleep? Are we eating the right way? Are we doing all those other things? That contributes to it. We don't do that just for the sake of doing it. We do that because we think there's a benefit to it. And we hope, as you go on, obviously, the big issues you look at are the soft tissue injuries, because those are preventable. If someone breaks a leg, someone breaks a leg. There's not much, I don't think, from a sports science standpoint or a preparation standpoint that can go into, the prevention of breaking a bone. But I think the one thing we are happy with in terms of how we approach things is that we don't have a lot of soft tissue injuries, don't have a lot of muscle pulls, and a lot of that directly correlates back to what we're doing in the weight room and doing from a conditioning standpoint. So.
Does that help guys bounce back faster during the week too?
We think so. We spend a lot of time on recovery. I think that's extremely important, trying to make sure that you're fresh when it comes to Sunday. But there's a double-edged sword there, as I tell our guys all the time, is that we can spend a lot of time talking about recovery, but there has to be something to recover from. So there still has to be a workload and a certain amount of practice that you do. Part of our philosophy of practicing earlier in the week, having a practice on Tuesday, there's a reason for that. There's a method to the madness, hopefully, and we'll see if that continues to help us, because it is a long season.
Coach, I know you haven't had a chance to face them yet, but have you been able to get a feel this week about just how intense this rivalry is with the Giants, from your players or even just being around?
Yeah, I'm very aware of the rivalry between the Giants and the Eagles. There's actually a NFL Network, the biggest rivalries in the league. I think that was voted number one. So you notice there's a history in the game. There's Herm Edwards picking up the fumble. There's Deshaun Jackson's punt return. There's a lot of history. Obviously, when you play in games like this, it's the closest opponent. They're right up the road. So you're very aware of it. And the battles that have gone on in this division, you understand it. And especially recently with the Giants' success, the Eagles have had so much success in the 2000s. I think we're very aware of what the battle between New York and Philadelphia is like.
How do you make it the Giants signing Dallas Reynolds, and do you think they'll be able to glean any information from him on your offense?
I think Dallas is a good football player. I think we're probably a position of strength for us on the offensive side of the ball. Is that McCoy talking loud? That's surprising. LaShawn! We good? You good? Can we continue? All right, buddy. Love you. I think one of the positions of strength on this team is our offensive line, and it was just tough to keep everybody. We knew when we released Dallas that he was going to end up on a team. So, and when I look at it, I think some people make too much into it as, hey, they want to get this guy because they want to get information. I think with their injuries on the offensive line, Dallas is a very, as you look out there, is who is available. I think he's a guy that's available. So, but we're also aware of when we put together everything is that guys that were here with us in camp could end up on other teams. So we have systems in place when, we're not doing everything the same way we did it from a communication standpoint that we did when we were here in a preseason. So,
all of us are. You look at the reality of your situation. Your losses have been in the AFC to AFC teams. Nobody in your division's over 500. From outsiders, we can all look at that and play games with. If you win Sunday and Denver beats Dallas, you're in first place and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is it something that you guys talk about at all? If somebody in your division was running away with it, somebody was 4-0, it would be a lot tougher to get back in it. Or do you just kind of ignore all that stuff at this point?
It's funny you said that. I talked to our team about that on Tuesday because I had had people tell me that, if Dallas loses this weekend and we win, we're in first place. And I was fired up. I called the league office. I wanted to find out when we get the trophy and when the trophy presentation would be. And they got the same response. They started laughing too, because it doesn't matter if you're in first place in the first week of October. What matters is, are you in first place after December 29th? But this week contributes being in first place on December 29th. So let's not waste energy and time on the hey, if this happens and this happens and this happens, it's almost you got two choices to do. You can wish for things to happen or you can plan for things to happen. And our job as a team is prepare to play the New York Giants. Now, this game could have huge ramifications as you get down the road where us and the Giants are tied and then we won a game against them. And that's where it really becomes a big deal. But I think you can start doing the whole transit of properties of they beat them and we beat them and all that. I think, you know, we just let's focus on what we can control. And what we can control is our preparation and getting ready for them. So if they did give us a trophy after this game, we would be really fired up for it. But I was told that's not going to happen. So
all of us are
happy to be your straight man.
What's that?
I appreciate being your straight man.
I appreciate that. The guy got the guys on the same thing. They thought that well, I was like, holy smokes, we're getting a trophy. But, you know, it didn't work that way.
How's the week of practice been for Alex Henry?
Alex did a nice job. You know, we put him in some kicking situations the other day. Today's another day. We'll kick. We'll finish with a clutch situation at the end with a field goal. You know, he's been really good in practice, and that's the, you know, last week he was banging them last week. You know, I think it's one of those things. As I said earlier in the week, when we look at it, you know, I think he's missed. I think it's left, right, left. So it's not like it's a consistent one fundamental flaw that's always pulling the ball. I think he understands where he needs to be. It's just when he gets out in the field, he knows what he's got to do, and we got to put it through the uprights.
Two more guys. Confidence level just to see where he was at this week. I mean, he hasn't.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. When we've been out there, I've never seen that from Alex. So, you know, I think, like most people, I think he's at 85% in his career. So, you know, when I send Alex out in the field, it's not, you know, you kind of got your fingers crossed hoping he's going to punch one through. As I consider him. But this, you know, we got three here. I'm disappointed every time we go to kick for three because you want seven. But I don't go out there thinking, I hope, you know, this is, I'm not sure he's going to make this one. So
there's been speculation that Southern Cal come to you, talk to you about their vacancy. How would you handle that if they did?
Number one, I don't deal with hypotheticals. Okay. But then, see, then we're getting close.
I'm getting there.
Getting real close here.
Now,
I'm the head coach of Philadelphia Eagles. I'm very, very excited to be here, and I'm no entertaining anything like that, and I'm here.
I'm trying to measure the progress you guys are making, and you're on the inside and have a lot more info than we do. For people on the outside, other than wins and losses, what should we be looking at?
Honestly, I don't think you should be looking at anything else. That's what we all get graded on at the end of the day, is wins and losses. You know, and I think we as a group have understand our plan and the process of how you win and how you lose and what contributes to that, and that's what this deal is all about. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're not winning enough games, you're not going to be here very long, and if you are winning games, then you're going to be around. But at the end of the day, there's not, hey, let's look at this and let's look at that. The bottom line is, you know, as Coach Parcells said a long time ago, and I'm not the one who came up with it, and he didn't, but he's extremely right, you are what your record says you are. So we need to go change that, and we need to change that. The way we know how to change that is how we prepare. And I think these guys have had a good week so far preparing, but we got a big Thursday ahead of us coming out right now, and we got another big Friday, another big Saturday, and then we got to go play a real good team in our division. So.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.